Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBQ 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Okay, we've made it back, and now joining us is two contributors to the book of Tragedy in Aurora, The Culture of Mass Shootings in America. So joining us is Lonnie Phillips and Sandy Phillips. Thank you for taking some time to talk today.
Thank you for having us.
So let's start out with how did you get involved in the book with Tom Diaz? And we'll start with Sandy. How's that?
Well, we met Tom several years ago when we first got involved in this issue after our daughter's death. We started reading everything we could, and we came across two of Tom's books. One was The Last Gun, and the other one was, can't think of the other title right now, but they were both so good, and we learned so much from them that they kind of became our Bible. And then we were honored enough to meet him and hit it off beautifully with him, and a friendship was formed. And so when we got to talking about wanting to do a book, he said he'd love to write it with us, and we said absolutely. We were absolutely astonished that he would want to do that. So very honored to have worked with him and to call him friend.
Now, with Aurora and the tragedy that happened there, what's your connection there? Let's, for the listeners, kind of fill in for listeners who what your connection was.
Sure. Our daughter Jessie Redfield Gowie was living here. She had left. We lived in San Antonio, Texas, and she left there to come to Denver and finish out her education and start her career as a sports journalist, broadcaster covering hockey, ice hockey, and loved it here. And we really saw her grow from the young lady that we brought here to a really wonderful young woman. And she went to the movie one night with her best guy friend who was visiting from Texas and never came home. Well, she did. She came home in a cardboard box of ashes. And she was shot six times with a .223 from a semi-automatic AR-15. And if you know what those bullets do to the human body, I don't need to be any more descriptive than that.
How did you first hear about Jesse's death?
Well, that's a two-part story. The first part is that I couldn't sleep that night, and the phone rang. Well, I take that back. I couldn't sleep that night. I was texting with my daughter, and I said, are you guys still up? And she said they were at the movies. And I said, okay, we'll talk tomorrow. And she said, I can't wait for you to come visit next week. I really need my mama. And I wrote back, I really need my baby girl. And that was the last text message we had. And about 35 minutes later, the phone rang, and it was the young man that was with her, who was like a son to us. And the phone rang, and I looked down, and I thought, that's weird. Why would he be calling me? They're at the movies. And I picked the phone up, and there was screaming going on in the background. And he told me that he thought he had been shot once. No, twice, excuse me. He thought he'd been shot twice. And I knew then that something was wrong because Jesse would have been calling me had she been okay. So I asked where Jesse was, and he said, I'm sorry. And I said, is she okay? And he said, I'm sorry, I tried. And he's a paramedic. So I concluded very quickly that he was giving me really bad news. And I said, oh, God, Brent, please tell me she's not dead.
And that's when she started screaming, and I was in a dead sleep, and she's such a horrible guttural sound that I was out of bed immediately, thought someone was attacking her, and ran into the living room, and she was sliding down the wall telling me that Jesse's dead. And I grabbed her, took her to the couch, and tried to calm her down. And finally she, I got her to tell me a little how she knew that she was dead, and she said, well, Brent's a paramedic, and he told me that he tried to save her, and she's dead. And so that's the moment that I knew that I no longer had the same wife, and I no longer had a daughter. My life was beginning in a completely different realm.
Now, you've taken that grief, and you've gone into the book, and you're putting this out here in September. What is it you want people to get out of this book? What do you want people to get out of this tragedy?
First of all, that they need to be involved, that their voices matter in this issue, and that it's really not about partisan politics, although it's become that way. We've polarized ourselves in America to the point of being ridiculous, and we just have to step back. I want everyone just to take a deep breath, step back, and say, do you want this happening to your child, your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle? Your loved ones, do you want this to happen to them? Because it's happening at such a high rate anymore that you're one degree of separation from this being your story, and you do not want to walk in our shoes.
So this book goes into great detail about how we got here, how this country got into this culturally polarized position, and it analyzes the steps that we can do to get out of it. It goes into what the big national gun violence prevention groups have, how they failed, and what they've done right and what they've done wrong, and how the gun lobby has managed to outflank us on every turn. We haven't had any kind of federal laws on any kind of gun control for 25 years since the Brady Bill, and we think that's wrong, and we think that the book shows us how we can start fixing that with some survivor grassroots that was going to start taking effect in this country. And until that happens, we're in a world of hurt.
How do you think you can address people on the NRA side, the people that believe that to regulate a gun all of a sudden turns into confiscating the gun, taking away their gun? Like, how do you address them? Like, how is it you're going to get that point across to them?
Well, you have to have two sides that are willing to listen, and unfortunately the far, far, far radical right doesn't want to listen. They just have dug in their heels on the catchphrases of the NRA, like guns don't kill people, people kill people. The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Slippery slope, you're going to come and take my guns. Nobody has ever, ever talked about taking anyone's guns. In fact, all the laws that are being proposed do not address confiscation. They only address regulation. And in the 2A, it says what? A well-regulated militia. So they like to leave that part out. And right now, in America, we are not regulating well at all. So it's time to do the right thing, and it's a public safety issue. It has to be addressed, or we're going to have this continue and end up, God forbid, in a civil war.
Yeah, I quite often see we have a lot of Canadian connection, and countries that are in the free world in the West, like Canada, tend to do better as far as gun regulation as well as mass shootings. And how do you get that across to people that guns do kill people?
Well, you just keep pounding at it, and you keep the facts out there, and you get the grassroots building, which is happening in America. I mean, we're seeing more and more people join the ranks of saying something. You got to do something, and demanding it, and that's a good sign, because there are people from all walks of life. They're mostly women and mothers who are concerned about this issue, because every day when they take their children to school and drop them off, they're afraid that they may not come home.
So when you see the country that you know, Sandy and I have been, since the Aurora shooting, we have been to 14, we call them public mass shootings, different from regular mass shootings, because public mass shootings is when someone is armed with a gun, usually a white male, and it's usually an AR-15, because that's the killing machine that's chosen by our military, and it's the one that does the most damage, walks into a public venue and kills as many people as quickly as possible. That's his motive, and that is his purpose. That defines a public mass shooting, and those mass shootings is what's driving the policy changes in this country. They say, well, it's only 2% of the murdered people in this country. Well, that's absolutely right. But it drives all the news media. It drives the policy changes. It's kept the NRA from passing even more bad gun laws. So we really need this book to point out how this country is unique in the world, on this earth, as having this amount of public mass shootings. And the reason is too many guns in the hands of too many people that shouldn't have them.
That's exactly true. Here in Canada, on December 6, 1989, a young man named Mark Lapine went into Montreal's École Polytechnique and murdered 14 young women there, and 13 other people were wounded. And after that, there was a lot of uproar around who should have these kind of weapons here in Canada. And so there was a coalition for gun control created, and their efforts contributed to the November 1995 adoption of a federal firearm control legislation. People can still have guns here. It's just there are just a few more hoops you can jump through. I mean, if I want to have an AR-15, I can have one. The things I can't have are a mass clip, like the one that we saw in Dayton, Ohio, which held 100 rounds. And, I mean, that man killed 9 people in a span of 30 seconds because
well,
he had that.
In our case in the theater, he had a 100-round magazine as well. And fortunately for the rest of the people in that theater, it jammed. And guess what the manufacturer did after that happened? Instead of taking it off the market or having some kind of social conscience about it, they fixed it. And now it doesn't jam anymore. So the fact that the police were on the scene as quickly as they were and stopped the shooter in Dayton, you're right, he still killed 9 people in 30 seconds. Imagine how much worse it would have been. And, you know, people say, well, if I'd had a gun, I would have stopped him. You don't stop an AR-15, and you don't stop an ambush. That's just not the way it works. You just get slaughtered, or you're lucky enough where you've been able to hide and get away. So the fact that they're on the streets in civilian hands is really where we need to be addressing this issue.
Yeah, and I'll say as well, like in the case of Aurora, the movie theater, if you had a gun and you were on the good side, so to speak, how would you know who to shoot in a dark theater?
It's funny that you brought that up, because Brent, the young man that she was with, who's like a son to us, is a concealed carry person. He has a concealed carry license in Texas. Even though he flew there and didn't bring his gun, we asked him that question, the very same question. Well, do you wish you'd had your gun? He said, if I'd have had my gun, I would have killed more people. I would have been shot for sure myself. He was clad in armor. And the confusion, the smoke, the screaming, the holler, the movie was going on. And as, you know, we know the police themselves, trained experts, only hit their target 30% of the time. And in his case, he absolutely would not have been, or nor would anyone else have been. By the way, there were other people in there with guns, which is not a known fact, that never got a chance to use them. So that theory is totally off the wall about being able to stop a mass shooter with this kind of weaponry.
So now what we're seeing is the Dayton, Ohio killer imitating the killer in Aurora. He had body armor, head to toe, so did ours. Our shooter decided that he would have music playing in his ears. He had headphones on so that he wouldn't hear the people screaming as he killed them.
Wow. And they just stopped three more, I guess, didn't they, that were going to happen?
Yes, and that's terrifying. I mean, three early 20s white males in America that are so angry at who knows what that they're dangerous and they have the weaponry to do true harm to innocent civilians. So, you know, we look at this as, you know, we're killing our civilians like genocide in any other country. If it was any other country, we'd be saying they were at war. We lose 100 people a day to guns and over 200 that are wounded, and that amounts to $227 billion a year in this country to help and rehab and treat those who have been wounded. This is not just an issue of we are morally corrupt. It's financially damaging to our country.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting point you bring up. It's not, these are white males. This is not a Islamic terrorist group coming over and killing Americans. This is homegrown.
That's the terrifying thing, and that's another thing that's covered in the book, how this has happened and how we seem to have a whole huge segment of our society that has troubled enough to and feel entitled enough or not entitled enough to choose to buy a weapon and do nothing but kill as many people as possible just to show their hatred.
The one young man out of the three, there was one that said that he thought if he could have the largest kill count of 100 or more, he'd feel fine with that. That would be his goal. Now that's terrifying. That's really someone that you go, okay, and it's okay for him to have a gun because we have no regulations.
Yeah. Now, you guys sound like pretty reasonable, average American citizens, and you've been around a few years. What is the reason that culture in America is doing this? Like, have you thought about that? Like, why is it that these young people are...
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Angry or coming out and shooting and killing all these people. And they're not doing it in other countries like in Canada or UK or Australia. You know,
well, we don't know if they'd be doing it in Canada or anywhere else because you guys have better gun laws than we do.
You guys have the same crazies that we do.
Yeah.
They watch the same videos. They watch, and this is in Japan, this is in all the countries all over the world. They watch the same videos. You have the same percentage of troubled people that do this. But this is the only place where you can go and buy an AR-15 out of the trunk of a car legally, no matter what age you are.
Yeah.
And we also have different laws depending on what state you're in. So people will bring up quite often, oh, well, look at Chicago. Well, yeah, look at Chicago. It's right next to Indiana. Indiana has very lax gun laws, and guess where all the guns that are being used in these crimes are coming from? They're coming from across the border, and from Indiana into Chicago. So, you know, if you don't have these national laws that that control the issue from coast to coast and border to border, then you're going to continue to have these problems. But we have an administration right now that doesn't want to address this issue at all. So it's going to be up to the people to rise up and say, we demand it.
It's just a crazy situation. So do you feel your politicians are disappointing you?
That's an understatement.
We had no idea. When this happened to us, we were totally oblivious to the laws about guns in this country. We just, you know, they don't get, the regular mass shootings don't even make the national news. Sometimes shootings don't make the local news in places that have them all the time. The difference in this country is, you know, you spoke with the politicians, is that the NRA has bought the majority of the Republican Party. That's just a fact. And it's the fact also that in the last election we had, we cleaned house in the House of Representatives, and because of this gun problem that is coming face to face with the American public, there is no choice. We have to vote them out in order to get these laws changed, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah. And what you know, of course, you're aware of Alex Jones, I'm sure.
Now,
oh,
if you
want
to know about Alex Jones, just video Ronnie Phillips and Alex Jones.
Google.
I'm sorry. Google Alani Phillips and Alex Jones, there is a video where he came down to, they had a rally in Texas, the gun rights movement at the Alamo, and we were trying to form a Moms Demand Action chapter in San Antonio. So they made the 10-block walk from their rally to our rally with Alex Jones with cameras blasting, and we just happened to be there. And sparks flew, and we got face-to-face trading spittle with Alex Jones.
Yeah, and there's no love lost here. He's a nutball, and I used to follow him on a show years
you
ago.
You think so, man?
and well, he's crazy. He's absolutely crazy. So how do you deal with that? He's got 6 million subscribers to his show at the moment, and he's still on about most of these being crisis actors, that these are all fake shootings.
Yeah. We were told our daughter never existed, and then 2 minutes later, he's telling us that she's alive and living in the Bahamas, and we're like, first of all, how crazy can you be? Second of all, how terrible a person are you that you would say something like that to parents of a beautiful young lady that lost her life the way she lost her life?
So you ask how we deal then?
Yeah.
How we deal with that? Well, first of all, you know, I come really, really close to having a ball with a guy, but I'm 75 years old, and it would have taken me too long to take him out. So instead, we sued him. We have the Newtown group that he was the most horrible to has initiated a lawsuit against him and has gone to discovery, and they have already shut down his platform once. So we're going after him legally, and he will be obliterated.
By we, he means the gun violence prevention movement,
yeah,
not personally.
I'm speaking as a group that we've gone after him as a group, and that's the only, you know, he has a lot of followers that actually believe him.
Exactly.
And that's the point when you say he's got 6 million followers. Out of that 6 million, how many has he converted into this sick thinking? And that's where you get really concerned about the mindset of America and the ability to critically think. Because we quit teaching critical thinking in schools a long, long time ago. And you see this whole kind of, we're devolving into a society that can be very easily led by what they watch on TV or what they hear on the radio instead of thinking for themselves that just doesn't make sense. And why would any government do that to its people? And why would any parent or any crisis actor continue that and be able to continue it for years and years and years and years and years? It's just fallacy.
Yeah, and it really confuses me because I don't know. They're solid believers, and there's a whole fear that he stokes that the government, and, you know, it was Hillary who was going to come take your guns, right? You know, just simple
right.
as that. And then they make every mass shooting into a political thing. Oh, he must have been a, you know, an Antifa person or a leftist, or he's a socialist, you know. I just don't, you know, the world is watching and they think it's crazy.
The rest of the world does. They do think we're crazy. And we had a friend just recently over in Ireland and was on a bus, and they were from Texas, and they got off the bus, and the Irish driver was like, "You people in America, you're crazy with your guns. We can go anywhere we want, anytime we want, and not worry, not be in fear of being shot." So, and it was like, wow, you know, they're laughing at us even in Ireland, you know.
Oh. Well, I don't know if I'm laughing here in Canada. I feel a little more heartbroken than that. I'm watching the division in this country that we love. I mean, you're our neighbors. You're our closest neighbors, and we love you guys. And we just wish you all would stop fighting amongst yourselves and become united. I mean, this is a great issue to unify behind.
Wouldn't it be nice if all of America could come together on just this one issue and say we should not be killing our own, and we should not be killing our own children?
I know it seems like that we're really lost. But the fact of the matter is we are making progress at the state levels and the grassroots levels. Once the grassroots start gaining momentum, as it already has with Parkland and with these other two back-to-back mass shootings, we're having public mass shootings hourly now. Within 24 hours, we had two. So, yeah, it's driving a wedge in between this country and other countries. At the same time, it is it's making our citizenry fearful enough to do something about it, and it is happening.
We have hope.
Yeah, I just wonder if, like when 9/11 happened, everyone pulls together and, you know, gets it done, so to speak. But when something like this is happening, why isn't it the same reaction? Like people are getting killed and everybody should come together and face the enemy, so to speak. But now it's like we're too scared.
I think the majority of Americans have come together on this issue. You know, it's expanded background checks, I think, polls in at 97%. Banning assault weapons is up at right at 70%. It's the politicians, and it's their pockets have been lined, and their hands are dripping in blood. And until they do something about it and be pushed hard enough by the American public, and maybe that will happen in the elections next year. But until they're willing to do something about it and stop the evil that they have bought into or been bought by, it will continue. So we are hopeful that this next election, we work with congressmen and senators all the time on this issue to write strong bills and make sure that they're covering all the, you know, from crossing the T to dotting the I's, that everything is really tight, because what we have seen 25 years ago with the Brady background check bill is there were a lot of loopholes left in there and never checked back on. We see that the assault weapons ban was allowed to sunset because there were enough GOP votes in there to say, oh, no, that the NRA wouldn't like that if I did that. So, you know, we just really need to come together as a country that is united on this issue, and that will only happen if the American people speak up.
I think partisan media has a big hand to play in this, too. They're whipping both sides up pretty good for some ratings.
Absolutely, and we've even noticed this last round of where they were having the what did they call it? the dialogue with the discussions with not just the town halls but the debates.
Go.
Yeah. My brain finally clicked in there with the debates. That a lot of the broadcasters were bringing up facts that were correct for the first time on gun issues. And we were like, whoa, we have been teaching them, because we've been at this for 7 years, and every time we talk with someone in the media, we, you know, correct their thinking or correct a term that they use or let them know how that got the way it is now. And when you do that, sooner or later it clicks in, and we were really, really happy, first of all, that the Democratic Party made it part of their platform. So gun violence will be discussed. And second of all, that the media was actually getting terms and laws and facts correct on this without taking sides. They were just calling things out honestly. And that was refreshing.
Yeah, see that, Mike? You got to start doing it right. Blame it on him.
Now,
I'm blaming it on him. Now, have you guys got a website, or do you have a place that people can go to find out more information about the facts, the numbers, and all this sort of stuff?
No, not on our website. Our website is dedicated to, well, our website is survivorsempowered.org, and it's dedicated to helping survivors after they have experienced this trauma. So we have gone to, as Lonnie mentioned, 14 mass shootings now to meet with survivors in the community to make sure that they are aware of what's about to come at them. as far as hoaxers, like you mentioned, Alex Jones, which they're always shocked by, and let them know that, you know, they're going to be offered counseling and grief therapy, but they really need trauma therapy to get through this, and that there are different kinds and different ways of finding it, but you'll do a lot better for the rest of your life if you embrace that immediately, as soon as possible after experiencing this. In fact, in El Paso, they had 60 trauma therapists show up at their community center immediately after the shooting in El Paso. They were so ready for this to possibly happen in their state and community that they were ready for it and deployed immediately. And that's what we need in every state, unfortunately.
So I can say that if you want your listeners to learn more about this and what's going on in this country, they really need to buy this book. Because it's delved into it, it's used other social scientists' opinions, not just Tom Diaz's opinion or our opinion, but opinions of people that's been working on this issue for 20 years. It goes into great detail about the our culture and your culture and the history. So, and you can get a 30% discount if you order through the publisher, Roman and Littlefield. Just go on the website. We also have a video of our 60-minute piece that tells what we do and what we've done in the past 7 years.
What tends to be the biggest thing you deal with when you have survivors? Is it really death threats or?
No, it's mostly their personal trauma. We know so many people who have ended up either in close to poverty, not being able to work. Not being able to fill paperwork out. So in every one of these cases, you have mountains of paperwork, and if the FBI gets drawn into it, there's even more. So just the paperwork alone is overwhelming for these people. So we always suggest that they get someone, a friend, a relative, but not too close a relative, that will help them fill out what they need to fill out because they can't cope. If they're injured and wounded, the needs are even greater because now you have physical wounds along with emotional wounds. And often they need wheelchairs or special beds or driving accessories to be able just to live a somewhat normal life.
So I think your question about, you know, what the survivors face after the public mass shooting like that we experienced. And I can tell you that they get re-victimized many times and from many directions. And not just the hoaxers. That is a bad part. But also people that collect money for you in your name and you never see the money. We had a big problem with the Community First in Denver. They collected $5 million that we had to go to court almost to get the money and to... We had to go to the newspaper, and we had to go to the senator to get the money from them because they have a plans for that money besides giving it to the people that collect it.
They raise it for the victims and survivors, but the victims and survivors seldom see it or benefit from it. So there's all kinds of things that need to be addressed in the aftermath of these shootings that people don't even think about. And it's one of those things that we're working on because we have seen in the 7 years that we've been doing this repeatedly, we have seen the same things kind of rise up to the forefront. So we know how to help these people. We just need the funding to help these people.
Wow. Well, I have to say it's a very important book. I think people need to pick it up, and we're going to have it on our website so people can do one click while they're listening and just pick it up. And we thank you for your work. It's Lonnie and Sandy Phillips. The book is Tragedy in Aurora, The Culture of Mass Shootings in America. Thank you for all you do.
Yes,
well,
thank
Mike
you.
And thank you. We appreciate you having us on and giving us this time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or show, go to www.housemysteryradio.com. houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.